our Wasatch County Government to order. It is February 26, 2013, and we'd like to excuse Greg Gagan. He's out of town. We had a glitch in the recording equipment last meeting, and so we don't have any minutes to approve or to review, and we will do both of those next time. Michelle's going to come up with minutes from her notes. Thank goodness she's a good note taker. So, and our guests, Mike Cross and Dan Jones, are not here yet. And last time we talked about inviting a representative from Summit County and a representative from Grand County to come and speak with us, and they elected not to do that. So we need to talk about maybe doing something a little bit differently there. And we'd like to welcome our visitors and guests here, and we will proceed. Before we hope they'll get here pretty soon, but we have some things we need to discuss. And for the record, I've been thinking after I was told that the two counties were not going to be coming, but after our meeting also last time, I was thinking about some things that I personally think we need to look at, and we've kind of gone around it. And so I'd like these, I have eight questions that I would like to have in the record so that they're there and we can discuss them. And here goes. Number one, is there a real or a perceived problem with our present form of county government? Tell me when you're ready. Or it's on recording.
It's recording.
Okay. Number two, is the concern driven by one issue? If so, what is the issue? Number three, is the perception that elected councilmen are not qualified or that they are not fulfilling their legislative responsibilities? Because in the present form, the council is over the legislative aspects and the county manager is over the executive. Number four, is the appointed manager who is responsible for executive functions perceived as not being accountable? Five, are county employees perceived as not doing their jobs adequately? Six, are other elected officials perceived as unqualified for their office? Seven, do most citizens know the form of Wasatch County government at the present? Eight, are county finances stable and in the black? And this is an aside, just from my own knowledge. I know that all county council meetings are open meetings. And number two, county budgets are available to everyone. That's my statement. Anyone have anything they'd like to talk about or add to that?
Oh, my question was, can someone just give us an overview of the county situation? Are we in good shape or are we not? Yeah, like budget-wise, are we in good shape?
I'd be more than happy to address that.
Yes, that would be great.
That was my question. Can someone give us an overview of the county situation, a possible budget? Are we in good shape? And what do you think needs changed? And you can tell by a budget where the weak points are. So if you'd address that, that would be great.
I don't have copies here.
They're certainly are available on the website as well. From 2003, when I started, the first year as interim manager, we had previously had a commission form of government, and in 2003, when we started the new form with the seven council members, and I had been working for the county for 3 years as the water engineer in the special service area number one. And they asked me to be the interim manager, and I said that would be fine, and I assumed I'd just go back being the water engineer afterwards. The problem was, as I took the realms of this, I have run a couple of businesses. started and run and sold and started and run and sold. So I do have some business background. I looked at the current, the financial statements at that time, and I said, you have problems. You have zero reserve. And the county can't operate under zero reserve. What happens when a government entity doesn't have money to pay its bills, it does what's called a tax anticipation notice, and they go and borrow money against future taxes. And so I thought, well, this will be a short-lived position because I'm telling them you got to raise the taxes. They won't want me as the manager ever, which was fine. I really didn't want to be the manager. So we did, the council did raise the taxes in 2003. They've not been raised since. At that time, we had a zero reserve. We now have a reserve of about $6 million. We're allowed up to 50% of the budget. The budget's at $14 million. The budget in 2007 got up to about, if I'm remembering right, 17 or 18 million. It's down now to 14 million. It's been at 14 million for the last 4 years. We had to cut because of economic issues. We had to remove some positions, and I took on some additional duties. I took on the duties as the county engineer, the engineer retired, Paul Wilson. I took on those duties just to do it because there was nothing to do anyway because there was no building going on. We just recently have three bonds that are Municipal Building Authority bonds. The Justice Center, which was done in the 90s, that built the Justice District Court, the court building out by the jail. We had the rec center, the purchase of the rec center, about $6 million, and then the renovation of the rec center and the fairgrounds, which was another almost $5 million. And we looked to refinance those. And so in doing so, municipal building authority bonds are different than a general obligation bond. General obligations where a tax or something's involved in it. Municipal building authority is just the government acting as the government, saying, we're a good government so we can pay the money back type thing. So you don't usually get as good rates. To do this, they recommended that we get rated. There are three rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, Fitch's, and Moody's. And so we went to San Francisco 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And I took Councilman Capson with me, who is an auditor, and we went with our financial advisor, Lewis Young. And we met with two of the agencies, Fitch and Standard & Poor's. And we came back with a double A rating on the Municipal Building Authority, which is essentially equivalent to a triple A on our general obligation. There's only six entities in the state of Utah with a triple A rating now. Three of those are school districts, and one's the state. We have a better financial rating than the federal government. So if that gives you a brief picture of the financial status. Now, I don't take credit for all of this. This is a group effort by department heads, other elected officials of operating and expending their money in an appropriate manner. But I do have leadership responsibilities there. I'm the chief financial officer. I present the budget to the council. They approve it. If they don't like what I present, they can say they don't want to approve it. So it's financially, the county's in very good condition. We're probably as good or better than most of the counties in the state of Utah. So that answers your. I mean, I'm a biased opinion, I think, because I'm very proud of what we've done, but that is the. We did get rated, and you can't fudge that.
Is there anything that you think could be changed or you think needs to be changed?
No, it's a fair question. I think during the growing years, we did acquire some debt. I'm not a debt person. I don't like debt. In my opinion, we should probably hold steady for quite a few years now and pay down the debt. Not that we're in trouble or anything, but I just would like to see us reduce that financially. We are in good shape. We're stable right now as far as revenues.
So what is the debt?
This refinancing was $10 million. We've probably got another $20 million directly attributable to the county. Then the districts have debt that's carried through the districts. It's not part of the county. I don't have anything to do with those districts.
Special service districts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In general, we're considered a very low debt, but I personally like as little as possible. I implemented several programs in the county when I became the manager. The first thing I noticed was that the sheriff came for, needed 17 new vehicles. I said, well, how long do your vehicles last? Well, they can last 4 years. It just depends. They put a lot of miles on them. And I said, so that means every 4 years I've got to come up with $370,000, and in between, I don't need $370,000. I said, we're not doing that anymore. Every year we're going to accrue so much money per year to go to the vehicles. And the vehicles hit 80,000 miles, we'll replace the vehicle. We've now stretched that out so we have a comp budget. We did the same thing with our computer programs and computer replacement. Computers are obsolete in about 3 years. And so we do about a three-year turnaround on those. Servers can go a little less than that. So programs like that got the departments more stabilized in their budgets. There was a problem with the commission form of government in that the departments were kind of left to their own on their budgets. And so as budget time would come around in November, it was a little bit of a scramble. If the sheriff came in, well, I'm going to need this and this, and the guys come in, this and this. And the commissioners would say, well, this is all we got, so everybody cut your budget to 10% and we'll call it good. And it wasn't the best because there were needs and desires. And as I worked with the departments, I said, here's my promise. If you really need something, I'll work to get it. But if you don't spend the money. In other words, if your budget's this much and you only use this much, let's make your budget that much. Because in the past, everybody was trying to get this much, hoping to maybe end up with that much. And I said, let's get more realistic, and I'll make sure we get what we need. And the department heads have been really good about it. They've really cut down and controlled their spending. They're very conscious of their revenues. And so as we've done that, our need for debt has diminished. And so I think keeping debt free, I'm worried about the federal issues. If we were to get hit with a sequester on Friday, I think our behavioral health issues and possibly some of our emergency response issues, which we get some funding through the federal government, might be hit some. The biggest hit will probably be in sales tax because the rest of the economy just will not support those types of cuts in unemployment. So we'll see less revenue. That's where I see those problems. As far as programs, the county's pretty good, but it's a fluid thing. We try to do as much as possible. We do get lawsuits because people get unhappy with us over things, and we work that. Most of them are insurance covered. But the continual draw on the county for emergency services, particularly in the law enforcement and corrections, is growing at a faster rate than inflation or growth, economic growth. We are getting hit harder and harder with having to put people in jail, having to take care of legal issues and having to run courts. I don't know how to solve that problem. How do you, when you get the same amount of revenue but that continues to climb in costs, I don't know how to solve it. And we're obligated to protect the people. We're obligated to patrol, we're obligated to arrest people, we're obligated to put them in jail. So those are the problems I see. And that doesn't answer your question, but those are the ones
we're tackling. No, it did. It did. Thank you.
Okay.
It gave me a better understanding.
And don't go away yet.
Thank you.
And everything you've said, in my experience, is true about how to budget everything that worked and what they put together and how to manage it is much better. Mike, one of my questions that came up that I hadn't thought of was, how many special service districts do we have?
In the counties?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Yes, there's a round number, because I think there's
eight
a lot.
Eight or nine?
I thought there was a lot more than that, but eight or nine is not
there
bad.
There used to be, but there isn't now, I don't think.
Well, some they did away with. They actually did away with some of the districts, and most of the little ones have no revenues, or they're neutral. They exist, but there's no paper on them. Strawberry, North Village, Twin Creeks, JSSD, the Rec Department, those are the big ones.
Okay. And what I remember now is the county is acting as the boards of all those special service districts?
For the most part, that is correct.
For the most part. Is that better than it was before when there was a separate board for every service district?
That's a tough question. If you're asking me personally, boards like the Fire Board and the Rec Board probably would do better with more representation throughout the county and other entities.
Okay.
The Twin Creeks, We did run an advisory board of Twin Creeks for a long time, and the people weren't interested in really participating much, and there's not a lot of issue there. The system, they produce water, they send sewer down the pipe, and there's really not a lot going on. The JSSD does have a different board. There are only two members of the council on the JSSD, and so that one does function a little differently. Districts are kind of tough, and it just depends what you're doing with it. But I think, like on rec and fire, maybe you need to spread it out a little more. That's just my personal opinion.
A little bit.
I don't have a lot of say in it, though.
A little bit unrelated to what our duty is, but I thought there was some controversy about why they dissolved those boards.
You know, there may have been. I don't have a lot to do with them as the executive.
So I guess back to your opinion, are they running well with the county being the boards?
We're doing okay. When they're audited, they combine their audits with ours. It's required by the state because the county is the underlying political body for those districts, and so our audits are combined, and our audits are clean. Are they as viable as the county? No. They're hanging on. You know, the fire district's struggling, and the rec district's doing okay. JSSD's struggling a little bit.
Mike, why do we have them? Why do we have special service districts?
It's an argument. There's an argument of whether counties should provide municipal services, okay? And there's a side that says it shouldn't. That should only be municipalities that provide services. And then there's another side that says, well, if there's property issues that are out there in areas that municipalities won't serve, then the county ought to step up and do it. So whether it was right or wrong, they were created. But generally, they are to provide some type of a municipal service.
In the county, but for a specific group of people?
Now, if you look at the fire district and the rec district, they are county-wide districts. And they represent all the people of the county, but they isolated the payment of their services. So the rec board, for instance, they're looking at a swimming pool right now. If they decide to do a swimming pool, it will have nothing to do with me or the general fund. In other words, it won't be a direct draw on the property tax for general fund. They have their own tax line in the general fund, and they will petition the people and say, do you want to pay for a pool through the recreation district? So it won't affect my government operations for general services of government. It was a separation type thing. The fire board was set up originally to get representation from the municipalities and buy in. Because it was a county entity, the county at some point dissolved the status of the district, and they became the representation for the district, so it almost defeated kind of the purpose of setting it up in the first place.
Yeah,
so
I chaired it for about 4 years, and after I left, they dissolved it. But they got in some arguments over it.
There were some disagreements. It was a little bit before my time, so I wasn't quite involved like you were. But districts are a question. Now, when you look at something like a Jordanelle and you say, okay, we want to put all these services up here, and people say, well, we shouldn't pay for them, meaning us down here. So they create a district, they then can tax and assess through the district and not affect the rest of it. That almost makes sense. But there is a lot of controversy about districts, whether they're good or bad, work or don't. There's a lot of controversy.
Well, I guess the one I can see, and then I can't see. I can't see a district that is countywide, that has their own budget line, and you say it doesn't affect your general fund, and I can see that, but when they go petition the citizens, it's the same people who are providing the funds. I mean...
Well, it's somewhat like the school district. You know, it's a separation of duties and things. You know, I don't know if it's the right... The problem with the recreation and fire, I actually think they're probably legitimate boards. They're maybe not represented the way they were intended at first.
Let me shut those boards. And I don't mean names, but I mean how are the seats on those boards determined?
They're just the county council.
It is just the county council.
Yeah, they have been different in the past. In the past, there have been different makeups of those boards, whether the representation from municipalities or citizens at large or whatever, there's been some differences. Right now, they're just the county council.
And that's why I felt it was a little bit important for us to know that, because yes, it will probably stay with that with the county council being over all those districts.
Mike, if you're on, if you are over a taxing an entity that has the ability to tax, do you not have to be an elected official?
Yes, but boards can do that. They can have elected boards, but there's no provision for any of our districts to have elected boards other than the county council at this point.
Like rec and fire, they'll both have the ability to tax, correct?
Because they have elected officials over them.
That's what I mean. If they didn't have elected officials on their list.
Right, but they could change the makeup of the board and go out and say, okay, we're going to vote on all the members of the board for the rec board, and if they're voted in, even if it wasn't a council or a commission or a mayor or whatever, then they could tax, but they would have to be elected. I guess, is that right, Scott?
It is. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
I oversimplify.
I'm trying to keep it simple. But there's different kind of districts also. A special service district, the creating legislative body, always is the governing board. They can set up an administrative control board that has some functions, and then they can dissolve that. But they never can give up being the actual governing body of the district for a special service district.
So the interesting one is the sewer district, which is a county district, but there is a county member on the board, but it's mostly
there wasn't when I chaired it.
No, that was just allowed in the last few years. Yeah. But it is a county board, it's a county district.
So is it set up similar? So you have the board. Who is their manager? Who's the manager? Is that an employed manager, or is that part of the county manager's job to manage?
No, they have their own management
district.
For most of the JSSD, the Jordanell Board, the North Village, Twin Creeks, Strawberry, Dan Matthews is the manager over all of those. I don't have anything to do with any of the districts. I only work within the general fund.
Okay.
Now, the solid waste district's another one I forgot about. It, garbage, that is a district. And that operates quite well as a district, but I don't know.
Are there any outstanding audits? Any audits that are in trouble over here?
No. There was a legislative audit called on one of the districts, but it was canceled this year. We've had our findings have diminished over the 10 years. We may have had one or two major findings in the last 10 years. Most of our findings have been minor and correctable. So the first major was when I first started, the county had, there had been a piece of property out by the gun club that the solid waste district bought the property. They were going to move the dump there. You know, we used to be out on the highway there when we were losing that. They bought property out there and we're going to move the dump out there. And then we were able to hook up with Duchesne and purchase half of their landfill. And the property, when it was purchased, the county actually funded the dollars out of the general fund. Well, maybe it was the other way around. Maybe solid waste funded the dollars and the county had the land in its name, but it was one or the other, and really you can't do that. You can't fund one agency out of another, and so we had to work through paying that back, getting the money back from the one entity into the other. That was a finding. We had to clean up a few of those things.
Did you raise your hand? Did you have something you
wanted
to say?
Yes, there are 30-plus special service districts, whether or not they're used a lot or not. But the problem with having the county council as the board is that when you appeal from one to another, you're going to the same people over and over and over again. There is no way to get to a different board. So you're appealing the same people who told you no.
And who are you?
My name is Anissa Wardell.
Okay. And you are representing yourself? Okay. Thank you.
Could you give me an example of what appeal would be? How would you, when you say you appeal from one service to the district to the other, one board to the other, what? I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
If you had a problem with one of the boards, and I'll use the fire district as an example, just because it's the easiest one because of the issues there. But if you appeal that fire board, you can only go back up to the county council, who are the same people who are the fire board. So, and it's the same with a lot of districts. And like Mike said, a lot of them either aren't used very much or don't have issues or work really great. But for the ones where there are issues or where there should be more of the public involved rather than just the county council, it's good to see different people in there so that you're not appealing to the exact same people over and over.
Good point. So kind of the example is you go to the planning commission and it doesn't work, you need an adjustment done, you go to the board of adjustments, or you're not happy with what they do, you go to the city council kind of thing. So it's one level of court, a district court, to a state court, to a Supreme Court. And you don't have that, you only have one place to go.
This is just the board, mm-hmm. which is the council, which is the board.
It's the same board.
Right. So if you appeal it, you go back to the exact
There is a level above that, but it's going to court. You go to district court when you go above that. And that becomes sometimes a cumbersome.
Expensive.
Anyone else like to ask Mike a question? Thank you very much.
That's fun. Thanks.
Do you have anything that you'd like to discuss or come up?
Who did so just to form a special service district? What's the process involved there? Who forms those?
The county has jurisdiction to form districts. And that's why the sewer district is a county district, but it's run by the cities.
The owners.
Because they couldn't form their own district without the county doing it. The county has to do that.
And then that puts it on the same board, the same county council?
Well, it depends on when it's formed. So
is that how
when they form it, they make that decision how it's to be governed at the time of formation, whether it's the county council or if they're going to some other form.
And so when you say they, you're saying the county, council. Okay.
The legislative body. Yeah, I can't form anything as an executive. So it's the county council.
Elaine, you had a comment?
Yeah, the special service districts, I think you know this, but that was one of the main reasons for the change in government. It was one of the driving things. We had some special service districts that were single people, which was kind of like, but the county has not been the same since. And there was a legislative audit at the time, you remember this, that was with the special service, one of the special service districts, and that was...
Well, there was an audit on all the districts. They actually threw all of them kind of in the same bucket and were concerned with that.
Yeah, back when I was on the fire district, right when it got disbanded, I was there, there were five discrepancies. Taken singularly, they weren't too bad, but taken together, they amounted to changing the budget without going through the fire board. And I raised a stink about it, and that was about the time the county commission at the time disbanded. So there were things like that going on. They weren't... wasn't severe.
So the fire board is the county council. Back to the fire board. Have I got this straight? Okay.
They're governing okay. both parts of the entity.
Yeah, one time the fire board was, there were members from different cities and things on it. It was a lot different. Then frankly, I was glad to get off.
But all the members, members of the boards of these special service districts are elected officials, right? No one's appointed?
I don't know.
No, that's not true. JSSD has appointed positions.
Members of the board or of the manager?
Control, not the governing board.
Yeah, but the governing board is still elected officials, and then they hire, if you will, a manager.
Correct.
Like Dan Matthews, you gave that example.
Yes.
So the Jordan Special Service District, they have their own governing board?
Plus a control board,
plus they have the county council as...
The county council can never get away from their position as the governing board.
Because they are the entity.
They can establish control boards, which are different.
Okay, so then that example we used is not true, because there is a control board.
And then you can appeal to the...
And then
yeah, but then you.
That's the only one.
Well, that's what I mean.
There used to be a control board.
Because the control board's appointed by the council.
Okay.
I don't think there is anymore, is there?
It's not like it's an advisory only.
It was an advisory only.
So there is a two-step entity there.
There have been in some instances.
Okay.
But the control board is appointed by the county council.
No.
It can be, or it can, they can set it up as an elected control board as well, which there would actually be an election for the individuals on the board. That is not the case with the current JSSD. It is an appointed control board.
So, and appointed by the current county, okay.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Any other?
I guess the question is they answer to elected officials, correct?
That's the idea.
That's the way it's set up.
The fire district and the rec district both have taxing authority right now. Jess, do you have taxing authority?
Through the county council.
The county council.
Because it is the governor.
But the rec board and the fire district are the only ones that exercise that ability to tax.
So if I have a beef with how my special service district is being run for whichever one I'm in, the guy I get on is the county council that's either the at large or the guy in my district, correct?
Yep. Yes. Part of the thought process in having the county council as the boards of some of these is that everybody in the county gets to vote for at least three.
Mm-hmm.
So if you live in Wallsburg, you still get to vote for at least three of the members of the fire board or the rec board.
Yeah.
The two at large and the one that's the south.
I guess the thing I'm trying to get at, and I think most of the members on this board are, you know, is there an elected official that is accountable for what's going on? So if I don't like what's going on, I have some recourse to say, this, you know, you're my guy, I elected you.
Every 2 years we come.
You either do it or I campaign to get you out. So as long as there's someone who's accountable, you're shaking your head no, Ms. Wardell?
Yeah, well, I mean...
I'm asking a question, so I'm just if that's not so.
Like you said, every 2 years we can vote them out. That is, if you are aware that they're, you know,
the issues.
If you have a beef with them, or you're aware of things that are going wrong. Most of the county, unless you're really, really paying attention, you're not. You're going to think everything's hunky dory and fine, and so we'll just vote the same people in. I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
Except for Whitey down there.
No. Okay, so let's go back to Dr. Burke's question. So if he had a beef, he would go to his county councilman and say, I've got a beef. And if he doesn't like that answer to his beef, where does he go?
He can go to district court. Isn't that right, Scott?
Yeah, if he's got a...
If it goes past the board, then they can go to district court.
So all the board really has to do is say, you have no cause of action, and they don't have to even address it. Am I correct? With everything I've read, that
yes,
seems to be...
that's correct.
But you would hope that in good judgment, people would try to reach a compromise and to solve the problem. That's what you do.
That some people don't understand is there are laws. Mm-hmm. So because you may think it's one way, or you think something is right, if there's a law in place, then the county, the legislative body and executive body have to abide by the state.
By the law.
That's right.
So okay. You may not like them. We may not even like them. I mean, we being the legislative body or the executive body, but we're bound by those.
I understand.
Sometimes people don't.
That's a really good point. Because sometimes we don't know. And until we do know, then we oftentimes make statements that are maybe inflammatory, or we don't use good judgment. So it goes on both sides.
I think this comes back to Ms. Wardell's point, too, is that, and this is what Randall was getting at the other day when he asked about the poll, is how many people really know what's going on or have a problem with what's going on.
Right.
And that's why I think we're hopeful our poll will enlighten us.
If no one has anything right this minute, I had Greg called me this morning and asked me to make sure that, if I can find it. He had two things that he wanted. I think I can remember them. One, he want in the poll. I guess they're not coming. Did they call you? They didn't call me either.
I'm not aware of it.
Okay, but anyway, he wanted to be sure that in the poll, that a question was asked, did you vote? In
know, because it's going to be a random poll of 400 people, I think we talked about. And he said, I want to know if the people that are answering the poll, if they actually voted. Yeah, because I don't care whether they voted for or against. But he said, I want to know whether they voted. And then the other thing he wanted to make sure we had was, he said, we might as well use the poll as kind of a marketing tool also to state that what this committee is, and that we are studying Wasatch County government to find out whether there are concerns and what they are, and if there are individuals that want input, that they're surely invited to come to our meetings and visit with us. Or if there are things that they think are wonderful, we need to hear those things too. There's not, you know, there's always two sides to everything. You have to remember that. And sometimes I think we emphasize the things that we think are not the positive things, and I think we need to look at both sides.
I want to answer BJ's question again that she asked, are there problems?
Okay.
And it applies a little bit to all of you as well. I think as a county government, we're basically pretty bad at relaying information to the public. I'm not sure how to solve that yet, but I would guess that most people don't know what you're doing.
That could be, but I would like...
I have no idea what your board does.
But I would like to make a comment. It's already on the record. I do know, just as a citizen, and not having lived here my whole, you know, I do know that meetings have to be open. So if you want to find out, you look at the agenda, and you go to the meeting, and you get involved. A lot of times people are so busy in their own, whatever they're doing, that they don't have the time or take the time. Yes, sir. Your name?
Marvin Rust, just representing my family.
Very good.
My concern is that you're having a meeting at a really late hour. If you want to have the citizens come and participate, please schedule your meeting at a reasonable hour of the evening, not 9 o'clock at night.
We have some really good justification for that.
I don't care the justification.
No, but I'm just saying.
I'm just telling you, if you want better participation from the public, public doesn't come to meetings at 9 o'clock at night unless they're really, really interested.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else?
I think that's fair, and I think to this point, most of our meetings have been informative for us more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I think that's a reasonable thing. We could work that out.
Well, I think we would have more public input if we were at 7 or 8 o'clock, if there was an hour. One day we could all agree. That's the part that's...
And maybe at a certain time we could do that, but all we're doing right now is learning and trying to see what the problems and the issues are. So we're just asking the questions, and we're relying on the public and, you know, the managers and the legislature part of it to give us the answers that we're asking so we can make the best decision for the county. And at some point, we're going to have to... I know it was in the paper, and... On the front
but
page.
You're right, 9 o'clock.
But
That's why I'm here, but it's...
I respect that.
Yes.
I've been up since 2:30, so...
Anyone have any more input that you would like to give?
I had the three questions I submitted, but I think they were kind of, I don't know where they were geared to go.
They were to go to...
To Dan Jones.
So we'll hold those. Okay. We'll just hold those until we can.
Can we send the sheriff after him?
Yeah, I guess we will.
Maybe that's where he is.
Do you have anything that you'd like to say?
I think we're good.
I'm good,
Casey?
Thank you.
I'm good.
Randall?
Nope.
You're set?
This was a good meeting.
This will be the shortest meeting in the history, I think.
The best meeting we've known.
Yes.
But we learned a lot.
We did.
Thank you all for coming, and thank you for your input. And
what's the next meeting?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess we better talk about another meeting.
And the only thing that I would say was when they did put it in the paper, they should have put in there that you can go online and listen to this, and which I did for the time I missed, and it was great. It was informative.
The only time I can't is March the 14th. Is that a Tuesday?
That's a Thursday.
Must be the 12th then.
12th is a 12th is a Tuesday.
The 12th. That's the only conflict.
12th.
So should we make it the 19th? And then that should give the
we Dan better,
Jones
yeah.
enough time to somebody can contact them and say, are you coming?
If they're not going to be able to be here, I don't see the point.
No.
That's the big focus. That's what's holding us up right now.
That's right.
Right.
To do that.
Okay, we'll contact them and get an answer as to what happened tonight, because he called me and said, we will be there at the next meeting.
And we scheduled it because they needed the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What time do we want to meet?
Let's stay at 9 o'clock for right now.
March 19th at 9 o'clock. Unless they can't make it. If they can't make it, we'll have to put it in the paper or something.
Yeah, we will. Or online. Okay, this meeting stands adjourned until March the 19th. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.